you need to keep studying and you need to keep learning, because, and you need to come rested and leave all your personal issues at home, because giving your patient good isn't enough. They need your A game every single day, and you know, their lives are depending on it. So being good isn't really enough. You have to be great.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Welcome, Jen. Thanks for taking the time to be here with us today. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we just kind of talked, you know, as a physician assistant, you get to do a lot of different things in the office. Can you kind of explain what a physician assistant is and what you kind of do on a daily basis?
Sure. So a physician assistant is very similar to a nurse practitioner. And so a lot of people know, have a framework for what nurse practitioners do. But it's basically the same training. If you go in a nurse, you come out a nurse practitioner. If you go in anything else, you come out a PA. But the average day can look very different. So when I'm working in the emergency room, I'm usually working anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. And in that day, I basically will share the emergency department, all the patients with one doc and another provider, so usually a PA. And so the physician assistants try to see the lower acuity stuff. So an average day would be seeing someone with abdominal pain, seeing someone who broke their arm, seeing someone who cut their finger on an avocado and you have to sew them up.
Yeah.
Someone who maybe has a bladder infection, kidney stone, chest pain, shortness of breath. So it can be, you run the gamut, and it's, you never know what you're going to run into, and you just kind of got to roll with it. The other interesting thing is that when people come in, you have to take care of all the people. So if there's an influx, you just have to be very flexible. But on the other side, if it's slower, then you get a little bit of downtime. In the clinic, it's interesting because everybody's scheduled for a 20-minute to 30-minute visit, and you will see all sorts of complaints, chest pain, shortness of breath, palpitations, and you make treatment plans, order labs, or CAT scans or tests. And then when you see the patient in follow-up, you make a long-term treatment plan and prescribe medications.
Right. All right. Yeah. So just like you kind of mentioned, that nurse practitioner role and the physician assistant kind of come out and do the same sort of thing and assist with the doctor in there when with the facility. You kind of started off your career with EMT and paramedic. Can we talk a little bit about how you chose to go that route, you know, at beginning in your healthcare career world?
Absolutely. Yeah. I honestly get chills just thinking about those days because it was so much fun. And, you know, I chose to at first be a journalist, and I was a journalism major, and I was writing a news story about a fire that happened in downtown Los Angeles, actually. And I was writing about the scene and the incident and interviewing people. And it was on that fire that I realized this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I was maybe 18 or 19. And I was like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to write about it. I'm supposed to actually help the people.
Yeah.
And this isn't helping the people. So then I thought at that point, I wanted to be a police officer because I wanted to go and rescue the people. And so I went through the whole academy and all that good stuff. And at the end of it, there was a time where they said, well, you know, we have a long wait, but you can get in sooner if you go take an EMT class. So I went and took an EMT class, and I was like, this is it. And that was that defining moment where I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I knew it because I couldn't put down the textbook.
Right.
What was that? It was literally every work break I had, I was reading the textbook. And I was like, this is somebody trying to tell me something. This is where I'm supposed to be. So that evolved into just the most magical 13 years. Tangible. I mean, you come into somebody's worst day of their life and you step into their chaos, their clutter, their madness, and you're just there for them. You're connecting, you're soothing them, you're bandaging their wounds. You know, sometimes you're doing CPR, but it's always crazy, always unpredictable, but it, the rewards of the job are incredible.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I think, like you mentioned, you know, being there for that person and caring for them in their, you know, the time of need. When I started teaching, I went and took a first aid CPR certification class to certify our students in first aid CPR. And it's 2 days long, 8 hours a day for this certification. And probably 3 weeks after that, I was driving through my neighborhood and a car was speeding through our neighborhood and ran into a tree. And so I was the first person on the scene, fresh out of this class. And so I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? But being an EMT and a paramedic, you are trained a lot more than just the first aid CPR. Can you talk a little bit about what that goes into as far as EMT and paramedic?
Yeah, so it is, you know, you're learning to bandage, deliver babies. You're learning how to intubate, put a tube down someone's throat. You're learning all the emergency drugs. So for example, if someone's having a heart attack, how do you recognize it on the EKG? That's kind of what I specialize in. And then what medicines do you give them if they're in cardiac arrest? What medicines do you give them? So there's a lot of pharmacology, a lot of higher level math when you're doing dosing.
Right.
That was the, I think, one of the most tough parts of being a paramedic. But there's also a huge learning curve because you have to learn how to talk to people. And you have to learn how to give them bad news. And you have to learn how to stay safe in sometimes chaotic environments where I've had people shoot at me. I've had people come at me. I've had people attack me in the back of the ambulance. And you just have to learn more than anything above the medicine. You have to learn how to really utilize scene safety. So I think one of the most critical things that I picked up being a paramedic was reading people.
Yeah.
You know, I think police officers are trained to do that. Paramedics and EMTs are really not. But you learn the hard way when, you know, when you're not looking around and someone's hiding behind a door with a knife waiting to finish off their spouse or whatever, right? Like, so you also learn how to read facial expressions, you learn how to read body language, and you learn quickly what's okay and what's not okay to do with somebody. And that's a course that I really think should be offered in every single class because your safety depends on it. It's just you and a partner. And a lot of my partners were female. So you can imagine, here I am walking through South Central Los Angeles with a female partner who's shorter than I am. I'm 19 years old and I'm just like eyes wide open, you know, and like, and things are happening. And I didn't know enough at the time to be scared. I look back and I was like, oh, what the heck? Why wasn't I more scared? But
right,
it was a lot of good luck, I think, you know?
Yeah. And I think that a lot of those skills, like you mentioned, transferred over to being able to work as a physician assistant. Like you said, the communication of being able to tell somebody bad news, reading their facial expressions, that kind of stuff really probably excelled your communication as far as a PA.
I do think that is critical because here's the thing that they don't tell you. As a PA, you have to sell your patient on the treatment plan. They have to believe in you to believe in what you're recommending. And ultimately, that's what you want because you want the best thing for your patient. But they have to trust you. They have to know you care about them. And the ways that we relay that, you have to do it in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And you have to know how to exude confidence, even if you're not confident. It's like there's all these little like life skills that I feel like I got out of it. And instantly I'm able to establish quick rapport with people, and that will get you miles with so many things in your life, establishing rapport and really, you know, connecting with people. Cause that's good in any job, but I think especially when you're healing people, connecting with them on an emotional level too. So they trust what you're going to tell them, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And with that, you know, being able to talk just like teaching, I guess, too, you know, you got to get your class to believe in you and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And so you studied at University of California, Davis, and got your personal physician assistant certification there. Sorry, I got PE class in my mind from last hour. Physician assistant from there at UC Davis. How did you kind of choose UC Davis as your school to go to with all the different schools available out there in California?
I chose it because at the time it allowed us to do a distance learning. So we could learn, I think it was 3 weeks out of the year, no, 3 weeks out of the month, we would do in our own town, you know, rotations. And then we'd go up for one week and we would live up there and we would go to class and do testing. But it was a really good model for me to be able to still, you know, I was be able to live at home and, you know, work in my own community and just commute up once a month. That was really easy to do. And I thought it was, you know, it had a good esteem program. So, I really wanted to go with someone who had a good name. Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, what I learned in retrospect is that even though we're taught as, you know, students, oh, go to the best school you can, it really didn't matter in the end because people just wanted your certificate. And I think that's true for nursing too, and any health profession. I don't think, unless you're a physician, I don't really think that your place you graduated is touted as much.
Yeah, I would imagine that maybe some specialists or some sort of things like that would look into, or, you know, if you live in Boston and you went to Boston, they would probably look at that a little different than going to Texas or something like that. So currently you are a physician assistant and you're working at Central Coast Cardiology. You've been there for, let's see, a little over 14 years. Is that right?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah. What kind of experiences have you had that, you know, that kind of stand out to you as far as enjoying what you do on a daily basis?
I got to tell you, every day I wake up and I'm going to work, I have a huge smile on my face. And, you know, they tell you when you're a student, you know, pick something that you would do without them paying you, right? And that really is an important thing. You have to follow your love, your passion. And I did that. And what's beautiful about it is I'm a respected colleague at my job. I'm treated with respect and I'm appreciated, and it's and all the warm and fuzzies. And I get to talk about the heart all day, which is so fun because, you know, there's so many layers. I never get bored. There's always new stuff coming up. And it's just, it's rewarding to also be able to take care of people's hearts, you know, physically, because it's not only interesting to me, but I also feel like I'm giving back to the people that are in my community. And that's really important to me. So I think our place where I work has a really good reputation. The docs I work with are phenomenal. I just feel like every day is a gift. I get to go to work today. That wasn't always like that for, you know, a good portion of my working life. So I know how it feels to not want to go to work, and I know how it feels to want to go to work. And you should always, my advice to any of your students are always find the place that you're like, yeah, I would go there if they didn't pay me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's got to be really, really rewarding to have that feeling of, you know, helping those patients and seeing them get better and having them buy into that treatment plan that you were talking about. As far as misconceptions about physician assistants, what kind of things do maybe the non-healthcare industry people that are coming in think about a physician assistant versus maybe the MD or the nurse practitioner?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions still because it's a fairly newly formed profession. I think in 1970-ish is when PAs started coming on the scene. So there's a lot of, you know, well, what is a PA? Are you just a medical assistant? When are you going to go be a doctor? Why aren't you a doctor? And, you know, it's not the public's fault. There isn't really a lot of education. So what I usually do to kind of bridge the gap is I say, oh, I'm like a nurse practitioner, because most people know what nurse practitioners are. We do the same thing. The only difference is nurse practitioners can own their own clinic where physician assistants can't. So that's really the defining difference, but otherwise we're doing the same thing. And so, you know, a lot of times what's really rewarding though later. So once people start to see a PA, and it's funny, I had this lady the other day, she's like, yeah, when the doc told me I was going to see you from now on, I thought that he was just shoving me off on you. And I felt really hurt by that. And he said, then I realized, well, actually I'm doing good. That's why he's shoving me off on you. And that's good. And she goes on her second visit, she goes, now I only want to see you. You're great. Because, and I've had this experience where she'll, you know, people say to me, oh, PAs spend so much more time. They really listen. And no fault to the docs, but they are busy and they got to get in and like fix it and go. Whereas the PAs do have the time to like, let's sit down and go over that test and any questions that maybe you were afraid to ask, right? You can ask me because you're more like part of the team, you know, you're the right hand of the doc. And I love that position because it's nice to take pressure off the docs while they're doing life-saving procedures. And it's also nice to be like sort of that patient's in with the doc, you know, and they're like, oh, can you explain this to me? I didn't want, you know, the doc to think I was stupid for asking. Oh, sure, let's explain it. Let's talk about it. The doc would never think that, but docs are on the pedestals of patients. And also what's cool is sometimes they don't want to tell their doc that they're not taking their medicines, but they'll tell us. So, you know, we can be like, okay, it's okay. Let's figure out a way where you can, you know? And so it's neat. You're almost more of like it's like a mom and dad, you know, like come to mom, it's okay, you know? And then it's a neat thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. As far as professional development, what type of professional development hours and how many years do you have to get your hours done in to recertify?
Well, it depends. So if you're on the 10-year cycle, which I'm currently on, you have to just do 100 hours of education every 2 years, and then you officially test every 10 years. So there's different pathways, but right now that's kind of what everybody's going toward, which is great because it used to be you had to retest every 2 years, but it's 50 hours a year basically, and you can get that pretty easily because there's lots of opportunities to get education. Like for example, this weekend I did a virtual conference and I probably got like I'll submit for like 18 hours of CE for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so and then that's a big chunk taken out already.
Right. Yeah, especially that whole weekend with the CEUs and attending those classes virtually, you know, you're able to get that stuff done and not have to travel and do all those different things that goes with, you know, doing one in person or, you know, out of state, something like that. As far as industry trends with professional development or just industry trends as physician assistants, what have you been seeing over the last maybe last year or two?
I think that when we were first born, we were born to fill in the primary care gap. And I was told that very clearly when I got into school, you are coming to an FNP program or, you know, PA, FNP, it was a combo, and you were going to go into primary care. Like you had to say that when you went in there, and they trained you for primary care because that's really what our job was supposed to be. But I think the trend has become that more PAs are specializing now than going into primary. And that I feel like is a trend currently. There's also to be really honest, a lot of burnout right now.
Yeah.
I know that that's not just PAs, but a lot of PAs have left the profession. I see posts right now in PA groups about, I'm just going to go work at Target. I've never seen that. And it's disheartening. Nurses are leaving the profession, as I'm sure you've heard. And we really are going to be in a healthcare crisis. And that's the unfortunate thing that is going to be happening. So I'm really hoping a lot of people choose to go into healthcare, because I also think we need to nurture those folks that want to go into healthcare, because it used to be when I came in, there was a bit of hazing, and not the kind of hazing that you think of that's like, you know, physical or negative. It was more like, you know, you got to earn your stripes, you know, and sort of a harsher mentality. But I really think that if somebody's like looking in healthcare, we need to be like, hey, come on over, let's show you, right? Let's show you all the things, because yes, you're choosing healthcare. We need you.
Right. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool to see that and recognize that and, you know, talk to those people about recruiting them and showing them the benefits of that. You kind of mentioned specializing for PAs. I know that you have a specialization. You want to talk a little bit about, like you mentioned earlier, the heart and all the different things and what you do as far as your Facebook group?
Yeah, so I have an ERCAQ specialist. It's sort of like the equivalent of being board certified. So I'm like board certified, so to speak, quote unquote, in ER. And it's a certificate of added qualifications. You can get them in psychiatry as a PA, in cardiovascular surgery. There's a couple other things in general surgery. But honestly, I don't find that most employers really even care. So I'm not sure if that's going to take off or not. But I've had mine for, I think it's been over 5 years now. But at any rate, so the Facebook group. So we have this wonderful nurturing Facebook group where students, nurses, PAs, NPs, docs, ER techs, paramedics, anybody who wants to come and learn about EKGs can come into my free Facebook group. And we do classes, I call it a little EKG party, about every 6 months or 6 weeks. And we're starting, we have bonus events that are when we're not doing our actual 5-night challenge. And tonight is one of those bonus events. So I'm doing a little mini class called 5 Ways to Hack the EKG. And people can come in and get like a quick win, right? Where they can learn some strategies. And the way I teach this, and I think honestly a lot of teachers probably do this, but I think it's important to work with mindset first, because especially like for you, if you were teaching math, let's say for example, and if you had, so math is very intimidating.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to work with mindset about, hey, let's break this down and let's give you something easy so the students feel a win, so they want to keep going, right? That's what I do in my EKG challenge, because to be honest with you, by the time people get to me, they're overwhelmed, they're frustrated, they're confused, and they're close to giving up. They're just like, I can't do this. And I have to kind of break that down a little bit and cheer them on, like pick them back up, and then show them you can do it and you will. Let's do it together, right? And that's kind of the magic in this group, is just that we have all sorts, and I don't allow anybody in the group who's not of that mentality where we're going to nurture and support each other. So there's be quite honest, it's been nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What's the name of the group called?
It's called the 5-Day EKG Challenge.
All right, perfect. So yeah, we'll hopefully get some people that are interested in joining and looking into that and learning more about EKGs. As far as myself, you know, I have very minimal EKG experience working with energy expenditures and max heart rate tests. And yeah, it is, there's a lot there. And if you don't know what you're doing, it took me a while to figure out what all the names and letters and spaces and gaps and that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's pretty cool that you have that available for people to come in and check out. As far as professionally, what's something that you feel really proud about achieving?
You hear that?
That's our passing period bell.
Oh, I'm like, is that a fire alarm? Are you guys burning down? I think honestly that is my proudest thing is creating that group. Yep. And it really is, because I had a dream. It was like 3 years ago. And I just had this dream of creating this place where people who are scared and intimidated could come and feel safe, because that's what I always wanted. And so it was very important for me to build that, so people would come and feel supported. And that is truly the biggest thing, I think, in my career. Yes, I speak nationally and, you know, yes, I take care of patients and I've gotten awards for teaching, but at the end of the day, that's great. But creating and encouraging our new folks, like that's the most important thing. It really is.
Yeah, that is really special, and helping them out and, you know, being able to achieve those small wins, I think, is something pretty big.
Yeah.
Professionally, where do you kind of see yourself 10 years from now?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've always had this dream, you know, I've always had the what's next in my field, right? My whole life, I've always had the what's next. When I was a paramedic, I knew at some point I would be a PA. But to be really honest, I am extremely happy. And I don't know many people who can say this, but I am extremely happy with things just the way they are. If they could stay just the way they are, that would be great. Like, honestly, it's funny because I think, and I look back at my paramedic days, I didn't know how amazing life was. I didn't understand. Those were some of the best years of my life.
Right.
And back now, so now I'm like, I think these are also some of the best years. So I'm going to enjoy these years. I'm going to keep them going. I'm going to appreciate them while they're here. Right. Because I absolutely feel every day so excited about both the teaching and the going to work at cardiology and then going to the ER. It's just so fun. So I think if I could encourage people to just really hone in on what's in their heart, like, what do you really, really want? Mm-hmm. And then go get it. And if you're not happy where you are, then don't stay there. Go somewhere, because it is possible to find that happy place. And I really feel like right now I work and I got to knock on wood, but it's like a unicorn magic place because there isn't a lot of drama. Everyone's happy. Like, it's just, I like pinch myself every time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to work here. But, you know, it wasn't always like that. And I did have a lot of, you know, left turns, like journalism and then, you know, police officer and here and here and here. And it just took me so long, but now I'm like, yeah, 10 years, I want to be right where I am.
Yeah.
Maybe more helping more people, but that's it, you know?
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's something that's really special to be in that place right now to where you feel comfortable and, you know, like you said, not trying to see the what's next and just doing what you're doing and having a passion for that is really important. As far as advice, we're going to look at four different age ranges. The first is for high school students. For, let's say, a high school sophomore, junior has read about being a physician assistant. Maybe they visited one when they were at the doctor's and they're like, oh, this is a really cool job. I think I might want to become a physician assistant. What advice would you have for that high school student as far as what they could be doing now to kind of learn more or get some experience?
I would say pay attention in science classes because that will help you a lot. Take any, you know, advanced science AP classes that you can. That will help you. And start asking. What I would do if I could go back to my earlier stuff is I would make connections earlier with someone that I could potentially tag along with. So sometimes high schools have like job shadowing programs. I know we had a job shadow day when I was in high school and I went with a nurse and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like I should have known then, you know, but the job shadowing programs, take advantage of them. Like really, there's aptitude tests in high school that you can take that kind of tell you where maybe you should be. So you know, use those as part of your tools to figure out what you want to do. And then look at what you like in your life right now. What do you get drawn towards? Like if you could sit down and you want to watch a video on something, what's it going to be? What's right. it going to be on? And then try to, you know, find something that you gravitate towards that you like and see how you can make a career around it.
Yeah. And then let's look at college undergraduate. So a sophomore in college, they're studying, they're looking through their science classes and they know that they want to be a PA. What advice would you have for them as far as, you know, looking at schools or maybe some other classes or places that they could get experience hands-on, maybe working or volunteering?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Looking for volunteer opportunities because that actually looks good on your PA resume. So anywhere you can volunteer, like a homeless shelter or, you know, maybe a food bank, anything where you can be doing also, which is a really good way, is to get a scribe position.
Okay.
And you can get paid to work as a scribe in emergency departments, use scribes. And that's a really good way. All the scribes either ended up going to be PAs, nurses, or MDs, and they had a really solid foundation. So that gets you exposed to see if you like it before you like take the big leap.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, you know, working in the industry and seeing all the connected pieces and how they work together. Let's look at advice for someone getting ready to graduate from PA school, maybe in 3 to 6 months. What type of advice would you have for that person?
I would say that you definitely don't want to, in that home stretch, lose sight of your family because you've already spent a lot of time away from them. They're probably feeling neglected. And go the extra mile for your family. Show them what's waiting on the other end, right? Keep them excited about, because you've already been a year and a half in at least. Right. And you know, you've had to push them to the side for a long time to do all the studying. But don't lose sight of that. And then also remember that at that last three to six months, you are tired. And a lot of times people feel like they can't keep going, but it's worth it. Just get to the other side. It's worth it.
Yeah, I like that advice. And then let's look at an employee that just graduated. They've been working in the field for, let's say, 6 months. They are learning at their job. They're doing the things. What advice would you have for them as far as what to focus on or who to talk to about questions they may have, that kind of stuff?
I would say, first of all, you're going to be scared. You're not going to feel like you know enough, and that's going to last for a long time. Don't give up. Definitely keep going, but find mentors. So like if you're in primary care, you know, ask other people that work in primary care and you're, you know, make connections. But also, to be honest, I really believe in the power of a good Facebook group. So find, there's like PA groups, a bunch of PA groups. You can probably even find a primary care PA group. There's a cardiology PA group. And so that's another good place to ask questions. I'm in a closed environment where it's, you know, safe. You know, you can just present like, hey, if you saw this, what would you do? Like, and get some other people's opinions. Or if you feel, sometimes people get run into positions or situations where they're not sure what to do with their bosses, you know, like that something happened, they're not sure, is this supposed to happen? You know, you can get advice that way. And you can even, you know, if people are concerned about it, you can make a fake Facebook profile and join. So nobody ever knows your real name and still ask the questions you need to get asked, but find a way somehow to get those questions answered.
I like that. Reaching out to that supported group and that community, to find others' experiences with what they've done in real life experience too. Let's look at a book that you might recommend for a high school or college student, something about the heart maybe that if somebody's really interested in learning more. Do you have any books that you think that a student or maybe a website to a student could look at?
Yeah, I would say this one. This one's a fun one. It's called Sparkson's. Can you see it?
Yep.
Yeah, this one's fun because it's very like cartoon based.
Okay.
I think is exciting when you don't really understand something, you can see the pictures and you're like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. So I like that one. And then I would say that's probably the best one.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And a couple more questions for you. This last one is about if you like or dislike blank, then being a physician assistant is right career path for you or maybe not the right career path for you. So if you dislike blank, then being a physician assistant is not the right career path for you.
If you dislike blood,
yeah.
Well, that's not true because you can work in primary care and not see a bunch of blood, but don't work in the ER if you don't like blood.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes a game changer. If you don't like people, if you don't like caring for people, then being a PA is not for you.
If you do like blank, so we're going to flip that around, then being a physician assistant could be the right career path for you.
I think that at the end of the day, if you like being challenged every day, if you like doing a lot of critical thinking, and if you like helping people problem solve, and if you like rooting people on to get healthier, then being a physician assistant is for you.
Yeah, I like that. I think that really hits it right on the head and describes, you know, kind of the benefits of that. Do you have a professional mantra or quote that you kind of live your life by or, you know, maybe professionally through?
Good enough isn't.
Yeah.
That's my quote. Good enough isn't.
Can you kind of explain that as far as patient care?
Yeah, you need to keep studying and you need to keep learning because you need to come rested and leave all your personal issues at home because giving your patient good isn't enough. They need your A game every single day and, you know, their lives are depending on it. So being good isn't really enough. You have to be great.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that really hits home with all healthcare fields and even a lot of professions that you're dealing with other people and helping people, good enough isn't. I like that. If someone's interested in finding out more about being a physician assistant, would you mind sharing some of your social media handles or your website?
Sure. Yeah. ConqueringCardiology.com is the website and Cardiology Made Easy is the Instagram handle. And the Facebook group, obviously, the 5-day EKG challenge. Those are three major ways to follow us.
Perfect. Thank you so much for spending this time with us as 30 plus minutes of solid information, and I really appreciate you doing this for us.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.